A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Episode of the Championship Roundtable podcast. You can find the show at Championship Pod on Twitter. I'm Lewis Shackshaft. I'm here today with Jake Jackman, who is going to talk us through his big wins and surprises from the Championships weekend games, if you don't mind, Jake.
Yeah, so if we go back to the weekend, obviously a lot of big games. Preston losing to Luton, wasn't it? I thought that was quite a big surprise.
Yeah.
Because I thought after the midweek victory for Preston, I thought they were really impressive in that game against Middlesbrough. I thought they were going to really kick on. But, they went away to Luton and they were convincingly beaten. And I thought that Luton on the day were good value for the win and could have maybe even scored more than the three that they did manage in it. And I think it marked Nathan Jones getting 50 wins from 100 matches. So as Luton manager, so it's a really good record, even though a lot of those would lower down the division. He's really kicked on in the Championship. And you're only up at the table now and they're up in 12th position. Few would have predicted Luton to be up there at this point in the season. So yeah, it was a really good result. That one stood out. Thought Norwich beating Blackburn, that was another noticeable result because I thought Blackburn had been here. They would get a lot of goals. You talk about Adam Armstrong a lot, but Norwich still with a couple of missing players managed to get a good win there, and they're the sort of win that we came used to in their promotion season. So that was one that caught the eye. And there's a few more, including like the South Wales derby, but I'll maybe let you talk about that one.
Yeah, certainly. I think, you know, we've got to look at Swansea this season. Their 2-0 win at Cardiff was a huge win, and they're kind of going under the radar a little bit, aren't they? Sat in fourth and on the tails of the top two, if you like. So I think, yeah, Swansea's victory there confirms that they are going to be right up there again this season and certainly playoff contenders. Not sure if they've got quite enough to get in that top two, but certainly surprising me again this season. I thought that they might have dropped off. So, yeah, that was a huge win. A couple more for me. I think Rotherham's 2-0 win against Bristol City will, you know, do their confidence a world of good, beating a team like Bristol City, who have been good all season. I know they're currently sat in eighth, but obviously Rotherham now, you know, hovering above the relegation zone, that was a huge win for them. Also keeping that clean sheet. Down there again also, I think Coventry's 2-1 win at Wickham will do them the world of good, especially an away win. It kind of keeps Wickham cemented in that relegation zone, unfortunately. I think most people want Wickham to do quite well, and they are playing good football at times as well. But, you know, Coventry's win now, that puts them into 18th position. And then the other one, you know, it's probably no surprise, but a 5-0 win for Bournemouth. Against Huddersfield confirms, you know, Bournemouth again steadying that top two, pushing on and really, really doing well so far. But yeah, that takes us into standout players from these sets of games and from the weekend, Jake. So do you want to just touch on any of those?
Yeah, so I think the obvious one would be Dominic Solanke from the weekend. He got a hat trick. He was very good in front of goal. He definitely seems to be a player that's benefiting from playing in the Championship after so long in the Premier League. He was a little bit, I guess you could say, he was a bit of a joke figure in the Premier League. People thought he was a bit of a waste of money. He didn't score many goals at all. I think he got a couple late on in their relegation season, but that was his first goals for Bournemouth. But he's really kicked on this year and he looks like a genuine contender for the Golden Boot. He might... He might be go on and challenge with Ivan Toney and Adam Armstrong. That's something to keep an eye on. But yeah, a few other players as well. I thought Harvey Elliott was good for Blackburn against Norwich. and James Collins as well. You got, I think it's his, got a hat trick as well, and he's a player that's yeah, definitely come up through the leagues and made an impact at every level, and now seems to be a championship player in his own right. So yeah, they're the three that caught the eye for me.
Yeah, it's definitely a weekend where you're picking out players who scored all the goals. I know you've mentioned a few there, but like me, I'd like to add Solanke, got two goals and an assist. So a great performance by him in that 5-0 victory. You know, we've mentioned Pukki already, but his brace, he's going to be right up there. We've already mentioned this, but Pukki's probably going to be, you know, in that top three goal scorers this season, with probably the likes of Ivan Toney, Adam Armstrong also. And then Duncan Watmore, you know, he's finding his feet, isn't he, at Middlesbrough. Didn't seem to score for ages during his career. But then again, he managed to get a brace for Borough in their win at the weekend, in that 3-0 win over Millwall. You've already mentioned Collins with the hat-trick. Liam Kelly got two goals for Coventry in their win, like I mentioned earlier, against Wickham. I think you've got to hand this, you know, standout player to probably Collins, though. Like you mentioned, getting the hat-trick for Luton. That was just a huge win for them, wasn't it, against Preston. We know that Preston are struggling this season for whatever reason by their standards. They've lost 10 games now. But yeah, for Collins to grab that hat-trick, he seems to be firing on all cylinders under Nathan Jones, as you've mentioned. So yeah, certainly a great weekend for the goal scorers. As we record on the Wednesday, though, Jake, I'm just going to touch on the results from Tuesday night's fixtures. So I'll just run through them quickly and see if you want to pick out any games that stood out for you for whatever reason. So QPR drew 0-0 with Stoke. Barnsley got a 2-1 home win against Preston, who've obviously lost again there. Bournemouth got a 1-0 win against Wickham, even though Wickham were unlucky, played some decent football at times, but ended up having a man sent off. Bristol City lost 2-0 at home to Millwall, so a huge win for Millwall on the road there. Forest down at the bottom got a 2-0 win over Sheffield Wednesday, and Wednesday continue to slump, and it gets very much worse for them. That's four losses on the bounce. And then the big game at the top was Watford and Brentford, which, you know, I probably couldn't have called beforehand, but that finished 1-1, courtesy of a penalty for both sides. So is there any fixture or, you know, team you'd like to pick out from there? What, you know, was a big win or a surprise in those games?
Yeah, so I think maybe it's worth talking about the Nottingham Forest Wednesday game, because I think I've seen a stat that Tony Pulis has had the worst start of any Wednesday manager. So I don't know what your thoughts on with that on that game. And it seems strange that Houghton and Pulis, two managers that we've spoken up as guarantees, have been far from that since they've taken their respective jobs.
Yeah, for me, obviously, when we discussed Tony Pulis coming in about a month ago on this show, you know, I always favoured Paul Cook and Nigel Pearson. And the reason was because I think when you are down in that bottom three, and, you know, in a position where Wednesday are right at the bottom currently on and 9 points, and, you know, had 6 points deducted this season, what was initially 12, I think, you know, you've got to kind of go at it in this league and play attacking football to get out of that bottom three. And I know we're capable of it. You know, we've always said on this podcast, you're better off winning one and losing one than you are, you know, picking up a couple of draws and losing one. We've always said that it kind of, you win 2-3 on the bounce and you can push right up in that table. And that's what Wednesday need at the minute. They need a couple of wins, and that would see them, you know, just climb above Derby, who are 22nd. But, you know, I just can't believe that since Tony Pulis has come in, 8 games now, 3 draws, 5 losses. And yeah, I tweeted it myself. It's the worst start to a Sheffield Wednesday manager's career ever. And it's no surprise, 3 points out of a possible 24 is really disappointing. The issue that I've got now with Pulis, you know, it wasn't him coming in and arriving. I understood from a chairman's perspective, I really thought that Tony Pulis was a safe bet, you know, coming to the club. And I thought, even though you know, we'd be compact, we'd grind out maybe a couple of draws and the odd 1-0 win here and there. It's simply not happening. And I don't know if it's because Pulis hasn't adjusted to the players that he's got on hand yet. He said that the, you know, team's really disjointed, which it is. We haven't got a natural left back. You know, he's playing some players out of position, Van Aken being one. You know, I'd like to see him revert to a 5-3-2 so that we can play three central defenders and use wing backs and really attack teams and try and at least win games rather than keeping a clean sheet and keeping it tight and picking up the odd point. But that's just simply not good enough. And like we say, 8 games without a win now is just, well, it's diabolical. It's relegation form, isn't it? So, yeah, going back to the game against Forest, it wasn't quite as bad as it has been. You know, the Wickham loss was really disappointing. The Huddersfield loss was really disappointing. That, you know, they seem to don't know what to do when they get in that final third. I think against Forest, though, Wednesday had a lot of possession. They kept the ball well and they played some decent football at times. They're just not conjuring up any chances whatsoever. And that's where the concern lies. I really don't know, other than Windass, who's not a natural goal scorer anyway, where the goals are going to come from. He's the only player that looks like scoring. And beyond him, I'm really wondering, like I say, how we're going to get out of this bottom three. We've scored only 10 goals in 19 games. So what's your thoughts on it, Jake? How do you see it from a neutral's perspective?
Yeah, it's a bad situation for Pulis, really. I thought that they would have got a few more points. The deduction hasn't helped, but it's only 6 points now. Even if they had the 6 points, they'd be in the relegation zone. So we can't keep pointing back to these points in a way that Sheffield Wednesday aren't a bottom three team, because they are. So there have been some tough fixtures. The one going away to Forest last night, although it looked like a winnable one on paper against the team down there with you, it was a tough one because they're probably thinking the same thing. And Houghton's had a little bit longer to work with the players than Pulis. So I'm not too surprised that you lost that one. But it's the weekend against Coventry, that's the big one. And I think that's a game that you have to win, really. But no, I'd still give Pulis time. I think that, as you say, none of the teams above you are running away completely. So I'd still have some sort of faith that he could catch up and get you out of it. He's never been relegated, has he? So you've got to think that he's still the right man. But 7 points off yesterday does look like a huge hill, considering you've only had 9 points in 9 points on the table and 15 points overall. It's not like you're picking them up easily. So I think the next couple of games are crucial. I think that Coventry game is a must win because they're a team that you'd be looking at pulling back. So if they moved another 3 points ahead of you, I think that you'd pretty much be able to say that Coventry were going to finish above you this year. And that's up at 18. You don't really want to be talking about teams that in those positions being uncatchable after just 20 games. So, yeah, I think it's a huge one. I think we'll be able to have a lot more to say on Pulis and Wednesday after the weekend. I think it's quite season defining already, I'd say.
Yeah, definitely. It is a must-win game. But I've been saying that for, you know, about 3 weeks now against all these sides we've played near the bottom half of the table, you know, the likes of Rotherham and Forest, Wickham, etc. And I've still, unfortunately, not got the confidence that we are going to beat Coventry. And I know we'll come on to previews and predictions later, so I can discuss that then. But yeah, moving into the topics, Jake, Sun fans have returned to stadiums recently, usually with a maximum capacity of about 2,000. I just wondered, though, with fans returning to the stadiums, do you see this as a good thing now? And would you be comfortable returning to a stadium soon also?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, it's got to be seen as a good thing. Although some clubs are going to lose that right to have fans because London's moving back into a tier three, so they can't have fans. So it feels like two steps forward and one step back at the moment. And I'm sure that'll be consistently changing over the next few months. But good to see fans back. You could definitely see the atmosphere. They've already added even 2,000 in some matches and definitely had an impact on the players. You see it in the Premier League, but also in the Championship, the home teams are playing at a slightly higher intensity, and good to see them back. And I'd feel happy going back. I think a lot of football clubs could probably have 10,000 plus in. I think they're ready for it. I think it's just the government that have been a little bit reluctant to agree to it, and purely because of how it looks. The visuals of it, but I think football's ready, and I'd be more than happy to go along.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, once the New Year's passed, or Christmas has passed, should I say, I'd be happy to return to stadiums as well. And I know there's certain capacities for certain stadiums, but I think certainly in the Premier League and your bigger stadiums, you know, 2,000 people's not a lot, and it could potentially be increased. I know I'm saying this reluctantly because it's, you know, we don't want to continue the spread. We know that there's a vaccine for COVID now, but, you know, you're still putting people at risk. So again, as long as the procedures and measures are put in place and it's all adhered to, which I've said previously on this show, then I'm all for it. You know, it can be only a good thing. You know, it's probably about, I think it's 11 months since I've been to Hillsborough now. It seems like forever. I think it was January, roughly when I went last. So it seems strange going back to Hillsborough Stadium or any stadium for that matter, especially with a scarce crowd and, you know, in the situation that we're in now. But yeah, I'm obviously ready for normality, and hopefully that will come sooner rather than later. But yeah, moving on to the next question, Jake, regarding Championship teams. Do you feel like the gap between Premier League and Championship sides are closer than ever, or do you think it's peaked recently?
I think that the difference between the Premier League and the Championship is growing on a year-on-year basis. So, yeah, you can see that this year. You've got the three relegate teams at the top of the Championship. And in the Premier League, you see West Brom and Fulham struggling. Leeds are doing okay, but even after their quick start, even they're starting to be pulled back a little bit. So I think you can definitely see the difference. Norwich are case in point, really. They went up to the Premier League to get the money to come back down, and then viewed it as a longer term build, knowing that they could come back into the Championship and find it relatively easy. So yeah, it's definitely growing, and I think it's only going to continue growing while we in a time of COVID. I think Bournemouth and Norwich especially have been helped by their bigger squads, with Norwich still managing to pick up points with the injuries they've had. So yeah, it's definitely growing, and it is a shame. But you can also see teams like Reading, who have spent a little bit more money, that can try and power themselves out of the league. Swansea, a team that have recently been relegated but have really rebuilt. They don't have many players that still played that were around in the Premier League years. Ondrej Ajew maybe being one of the few, Wayne Routledge. So yeah, they've rebuilt and shown that it's possible to come down, completely rebuild and go back up. Although, again, they've probably been helped by the finances that they had from the Premier League and the contacts that they've got at Premier League clubs, with a lot of the loanees coming in. So, yeah, it's difficult. And I think it's going to be a long time before we see a team like Barnsley or Luton or Millwall come up from League One and then go back up to the Championship. I think that we saw it with Southampton before. Brighton did it quite quickly. A few other teams as well, Bournemouth, when they came up, it was doable to go up through the league quite quickly, but I don't think that's the case anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, you mentioned the three teams what have come down, and they all sit, don't they, first, second and third in this division now, which is Bournemouth, Norwich and Watford. And that kind of goes to prove that, I think, at the beginning of the season, we did say, are these three of the strongest sides that have, you know, come down from the Premier League? And I think it's difficult to kind of assess these teams that have come down and say that, you know, that they're not going to go straight back up or be up there at the end of the season, because they are very strong sides. But then you also look at the teams that do go into the Premier League, like the likes of Leeds, Aston Villa have done it recently, also West Brom, etc. You know, there's a couple of teams like West Brom, isn't there, and Norwich even, that are yo-yo sides between the Premier League and the Championship. You know, it's good to see the Championship improving and improving. But I think at the same time, the Premier League gets stronger also. You know, you only have to look at the top eight teams in the Premier League now, who are just worlds apart from the likes of, especially Sheffield United this season and West Brom, etc. So, yeah, even though the Championship, I still believe, is one of the greatest divisions in the whole of the world, you know, the gap between both divisions is still there to see. It's just, I think, you know, in the Championship now, you've also got your little mini divisions within the league as well. You only have to look at that top six in the Championship at the minute, your Bournemouth, Norwich, Watford, Swansea. You know, there's question marks over Reading maybe still being there, and Brentford, but they're certainly the best teams in this division and all worthy of being in the Premier League at some stage. It's just, you've just got to have that little bit of luck, I guess. But yeah, I could guarantee that, you know, the three relegated teams that came down, potential for all three of them to certainly go up this season. And I'm sure two of them will go up via the automatic route. But yeah, we'll see how that pans out. That takes us into thoughts and feelings, Jake. So if you just want to pick a side of your choice and briefly discuss them for whatever reason at this moment in time.
Yeah, so I thought I'd do Blackburn this week. They're probably the team that intrigued me most in the Championship this year. The fact they're in 13th surprises me a little bit, just because of the attacking players they've got and how good they are going forward. You only have to look at how many goals they scored, 32 goals. Only Bournemouth have scored more, and Bournemouth's figures have been increased recently with that 5-0 win over Huddersfield. So, I mean, prior to that, Blackburn were the leading scorers, and they're not really anywhere near the playoffs or competing to go up. I think at the time of recording, they're 7 points off the playoffs. So, yeah, they can make that back, but it's not ideal. They just need to find a little bit more consistency. I think as much as we praise Adam Armstrong, he is a player that takes on a lot of shots. And that Norwich game was case in point. I think it was he didn't manage to score, but he had 8 or 9 shots in the game. And sometimes his decision-making does need to improve a little bit if he is to attract those top Premier League clubs that he'll probably be hoping for. Blackburn can be a little bit one-dimensional and reliant on Armstrong to in the final third and look to him when they are down and they need to maybe come up with a plan without him. Harvey Elliott's been a big plus. I think he's a player that at such a young age already looks too good for this level. He's got an incredible goal at the weekend.
He keeps
improving. He just keeps improving. And I think that they're a team... 7 points off the playoffs. They're a team that could get in there, but they just do need to fix that consistency. They had those 3 wins in a row recently, then they followed it up with a draw and 2 losses. Admittedly, they were against teams above them in the table, but still, they need to start, you know, turning those losses into draws and draws into wins, and go on from there. I think Tony Mowbray is still a good manager for them. You'd have thought a few weeks ago after that winning run that they'd really push on and get into the playoffs, but they've fallen back and are below the likes of Cardiff and Luton. Two teams that Cardiff we thought might challenge for the playoffs, but Luton we didn't think of that, and the Blackburn to be below them. And even just one place above Millwall, a team that have only won 5 games all season. they just need to find a little bit more consistency. I still am confident they can challenge for the playoffs, but yeah, the more results like yesterday that come around, you just think it might be another season of mid-table football. And then when we get to the summer, probably won't be able to keep Harvey Elliott for another year. Liverpool probably want him back, or they'll probably want a Premier League loan for him. Then you got Adam Armstrong. When he's scoring and producing the shot numbers he is, they're not going to be able to keep hold of him. So it feels like this is the year for Blackburn to go and challenge. And I'm just slightly disappointed that they are where they are in the table. 7 wins from 18 games. Expect a lot more from them, especially when they've arguably got the league best player in their ranks. So yeah, just confident about their performances. Just want them to find a little bit more consistency, especially in their game management and finding ways to score and win matches without relying on Armstrong so heavily. I think the next step is for Blackburn, but I'm sure Tony Mowbray will know this, and there'll be an interesting watch for the rest of the month, because they definitely need to pick up a couple of wins and move back in the right direction again.
Yeah, they're a really good Championship side, aren't they? And been entertaining this last few years. And, you know, they surprised me a little. I think in many ways under Mowbray, they've overachieved. And I'm with you in the fact that, yeah, they've got a couple of decent players that are really good in this division. In fact, we've mentioned Armstrong being probably one of the best players in this division now, even, especially with, you know, the consistent goal scoring form that he finds himself on. You know, 14 goals so far this season is great, you know, in 17 games, I believe. But yeah, I just think that the lack a little bit of quality across the whole of the park, in terms of, you know, 1 to 11. They've got a couple of players that can certainly win games and beat anybody in this division. But yeah, 2 losses on the bounce now. It's, again, I think at the beginning of the season, I predicted that they'd finish about halfway and fall, you know, maybe 6 to 12 points shy of the playoffs, and on that form that they're on at the minute, then that's where they probably are going to finish. But at the same time, yeah, I think, you know, a couple of decent buys in January, and you say, I'm sure Mowbray knows what he needs to get take Blackburn to that next step, which would be finishing around 6. You know, I'm sure he's on the prowl in January to get these players in. But yeah, Blackburn, other than that, are again, like I say, a really good side who can beat anybody in this division. So they're always one to watch. But my thoughts and feelings, I think I'm going to go back to the team I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the episode, which is Swansea. Just because statistically, if you look at them, they've only lost 3 games all season in 18. The play this evening as we record on the Wednesday. But not only that, I wanted to mention that they've also got the best defensive record, which I didn't realise actually till only about 10 days ago. And they've conceded 10 goals in 18 games, which is quite remarkable in a division like the Championships, where, you know, there can be hell of a lot of goals from, you know, each week and week in, week out, as they play on Saturday, Tuesday or Saturday, Wednesday, for example. So again, you know, we keep singing his praises. They overachieved, I thought, last season getting into the playoffs. But Steve Cooper's just doing an unbelievable job there. I know he's got talent in his team, you know, the likes of Andre Ayew, we've discussed being a Premier League player in the past, and he's capable of winning a game on his own at times. But, you know, Jamal Lowe and Ryan Bennett, for example. I'm a real big fan of Freddie Woodman in goal. And he's, you know, one of the reasons they have got one of the best defensive records. But again, I think, just wanted to mention him, because I think we talk about dark horses a lot on this podcast. I really think they could be once again. And, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to go up in the automatics. I think there is, you know, a handful of teams that are stronger than them. But the league table doesn't lie. Yeah, so currently sat 4th. And, yeah, for me, Swansea at this stage would be firm favourites to finish in the playoffs. And, you know, there's question marks whether they can go one step further and get to the playoff final and go up, you know, and reach that level. But for me, they're really, you know, this last 18 months to 2 years, steadying themselves as one of the best Championship teams on a consistent basis. Only lost 1 game in 6. So I think you've just got to, yeah, so far congratulate Steve Cooper for the job he's done. And I think, you know, the second half of the season, if they can continue on the path that they find themselves, then they've probably got a bright future ahead of them. So yeah, that's my thoughts on Swansea at the moment. But that takes us into previews and predictions, Jake. So we'll discuss the weekend's fixtures. First of all, Saturday, 3 o'clock. Two teams near the top, or fighting to be closer to the top even, is Brentford and Reading. How do you feel like this one will go?
Yeah, this can be a really interesting game. I was surprised Brentford didn't win yesterday against Watford. I thought they would go there and win. But yeah, they're on quite a long unbeaten run, albeit they haven't won many of those matches. There's been a lot of draws in there. So that's really all that's stopping them from pushing up and challenging with those three relegated teams. I think they've definitely got it in them, and they're slowly getting used to the style of play without Benrahma and Watkins. It's not as entertaining, but in Tony, they've got a player that scores so many goals at this level. And I think they're slowly getting there with his supporting cast. So I think we're going to see Brentford push on over the coming weeks. And yeah, I'd probably say it starts this weekend. Reading have been good this year. A little bit inconsistent, but on the whole, they've been good and they've been developing. Michael Elise is a very good player that's probably not going to stay around for long if they don't go up. They've got a lot of other good attacking players as well. I think the manager's done quite a good job in getting them up to the playoffs, and they'll really believing they can secure themselves in those positions. So yeah, it's going to be a big game for them going away to Brentford, but yeah, I think Brentford win this. I'll say 2-0 Brentford. I think it'll be a good victory with a clean sheet.
Yeah, I'm going to go Brentford win also. I think we always talk about quality prevails, or I talk about it. And I think, you know, Brentford, as we know, have got the talent across the starting 11, probably more so than Reading, even though Reading found themselves 1 point above them in the table at the minute with a game in hand. But yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 to Brentford on this occasion. I really think you've talked about that unbeaten record. I think Brentford continue to climb the table year upon year, don't they? They always seem to start slow but then steady themselves, and I think, you know, it's another year that's going to be full of the same, especially with the likes of Tony on the goal scoring form that he finds himself in. Yeah, Brentford for me still one of the best teams in the division, and I can't see them slipping up here. So 2-1 to them. We've discussed this one already a little bit, but Sheffield Wednesday versus Coventry, also Saturday 3 o'clock. What's your prediction for that one?
Yeah, I think Coventry have been a little bit better recently. They haven't lost in quite a few games, and won three and drawn three of their last six. Against teams that have been down the bottom as well, they beat Rotherham, they beat Wickham, drew against Luton, drew against Derby, drew against Norwich. So they've got beaten some good teams, they've beaten teams around them, they've got points against teams that you perhaps wouldn't have expected. So definitely seem to be improving under Mark Robbins, up in 18th as well. Whereas with Sheffield Wednesday, it's difficult to predict them to win based on their four losses in a row. As you're saying, there's a lot of problems, especially in attack, for Pulis to solve. The defence hasn't really been locked down in the way that you'd expect him to organise a defence. So an intriguing game. I'm going to tip Sheffield Wednesday purely because I think Pulis will get a win at some point. And Coventry, they're a team that we expect to be down in the relegation fight for a reason. They've been unbeaten for a bit, but they're not good enough to maintain that unbeaten run for much longer, I don't think. Yeah, I think although you're coming up Wednesday, coming up against a team that are unbeaten, maybe that's a good thing because might just shift the pressure a little bit. I think Wednesday are going to get a win 1-0. I don't think it's going to be pretty, but I think they'll get a win and maybe start start their race for survival and move up the league. So yeah, I think I'm going to tip a Wednesday win. Pretty foolish given their current form and Coventry's, but yeah, football just does these sort of things, so I'll tip it.
Yeah, I understand why you've said that. You know, I look at Wednesday, they've only won three games all season. I mean, that's worrying. And I hope you're right. I hope it is 1-0 to Wednesday. You said that, you know, football at times comes up with these weird and wonderful results. And the last time Sheffield Wednesday did win, it was 1-0, and it was against Bournemouth, who were at the top of the table. So, you know, it can be done. Coventry are certainly beatable. And if Wednesday are going to start you know, on a path to survival, it really needs to start now. You know, you can't get many more fixtures against sides what have come up from this division that, you know, are winnable games. So I think, yeah, I hope you're right, like I say, 1-0, but I'm being optimistic also, and I'm going to say 1-1. I really think that the concern for me is that we are conceding goals and we're struggling to score. But at the same time, being at home, you mentioned Pulis has got to turn it around sometimes, but I'm still going to predict 1-1 based on Coventry doing relatively well quite recently. So, yeah, I'm going to go with a draw. A similar kind of fixture also down at the bottom sees Rotherham versus Derby. That's also Saturday, 3 o'clock. How do you see that one going?
Yeah, this is another interesting game. I think Derby have been improving ever so slightly under Rooney. We don't know what they've done in midweek. They've got Swansea, so that's unbeaten in five, only one win. But you know, you have to start building slowly. And if you, as a Wednesday fan, if those four losses have been four draws, I think you'd be talking a little bit differently about your survival hopes. So I think that Derby are probably thinking a little bit more positively, even though they have only won two games all season. But yeah, 0-0 against Stoke, 0-0 against Brentford, 1-0 against Millwall. That's three clean sheets in a row now for Rooney. So although England's all-time top goal scorer, Manchester United's all-time top goal scorer, as a manager, he seems to be able to organise a defence and keep things tight, which that's the first block for any manager. Really, and that's probably what Pulis is trying to do at Wednesday, but Rooney's managed to do it. And Rotherham won a pretty poor run themselves. They got a win over Bristol City yesterday, so that'll give them at the weekend, so that'll give them some confidence. And they've got Blackburn in the week, so it's going to be interesting to see how this one goes. I think I'm going to tip Derby, and I'm going to tip a 1-0. Just I can see Rooney continuing with the good defence, and I can see them nicking a goal from somewhere. But yeah, I think Derby a little bit more optimistic about them now, and I don't think they'll go down. So yeah, I think that they'll win this game and move closer to the likes of Rotherham, QPR and Coventry.
Yeah, same reasons for me as you've mentioned there. I look at the form table, I see Derby have unbeaten in five. Even though Rotherham got that win, it makes this, you know, fixture very difficult to predict. But based on the statement you just said, that I don't think Derby would go down, I'm with you there. I really think Derby will continue to climb that table slowly and surely, and you know, probably finish around 18th, 19th this season. But yeah, games like this is ones where they're going to pick up points. So I'm also going to go 1-0 and agree with you on this Derby away win. I'm sure we'll both be wrong whether that's with a Derby win or loss, I'm not sure, but I'll go 1-0 also. But unfortunately, Jake, we've reached the end of the show, so if you'd like to let our listeners know where they can find you online, now would be a good time.
Yeah, thanks for listening. You get me on Twitter at Jake Jackman with two N's. I'm also on the Premier League show. I was on that this weekend, and you get that on Twitter at EPL Roundtable.
Yeah, cheers for that, Jake. I've been your host at Louis Shackshaft on Twitter. But more importantly, remember to follow the show at Championship Pod, where we upload and post each show to our pinned tweet. We would like to take this opportunity to thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.